For this somatic education exploration, you'll need two items: a kitchen chair and either a post-it note pad about a quarter of an inch thick, or a tabletop coaster about that same size. By coaster, I mean that type of material that protects the table from wet drinks. Also, please remove your shoes and socks. Now, you've often heard me say that without awareness, there can be no differentiation. Without a differentiation, you will have no choice. You will keep doing the same old movement patterns that over time, predictably, will lead to pain and some type of itis, like osteoarthritis, tendonitis, bursitis, neuritis. And without a choice, there can be no transformation, no change in pain, function. Now, that statement can be powerfully applied to all aspects of our life. Without awareness, no differentiation. Without differentiation, no choice, and no choice, no transformation. So today you're here to see how that statement can be used to better your yoga poses or your personal exercise practice. And for some of you, how it can start to change your chronic back or neck pain and perhaps improve some functions such as bending over, like getting the dishes out of the dishwasher without hurting in your back, or picking something off the floor, or being able to stand longer in lines, whether you're talking to another person or if you are standing and having to cook for long periods of time, especially during this holiday season, and you're not desperately always looking for a place to sit down. And for some of you, it might just perhaps keep you a little safer if you're at risk for fall. So this first movement exploration is called disengaging the toe pads. So come to standing upright on your two feet next to your chair. And since improving your awareness is the first step along the path of change and transformation, there's always a set of questions I like to ask clients or my students before we start the movement experience. I want you to think of this as a pre and post test experience. And if you have test anxiety, no worries. This is one test that you can't fail. So our first question, how upright do you feel? If you gave yourself a number on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 feeling awesomely aligned and long and tall, and 1 feeling folded or hunched over, what number would you give yourself? If you're 2 feet standing, start to sense the lower half of your trunk and pelvis. Where would you say the bulk of your pelvis is carried over the 2 feet? Is it toward the front of the feet or the back of the heels? Is it the same in each foot or a little different? Another way of saying this is, where do you carry your pressure in your feet? Or where are you leaning into your feet? Is it the front of the foot, the back of the foot? Is it in the toes? If so, is it more on the little toe side or on the big toe side, or maybe the side of the big toe? Are some of your toes gripping the floor and helping you to stand? Now, imagine your feet are on a force plate. This is an instrument that measures your imprint of your feet. Would it show more pressure on the outside edge of your foot or the inside edge of the heel? What shape or imprint would each of your feet make? Do you feel the imprint as a circle? Or maybe there's several circles the imprint would make? How many? How big? The size of a dime? Quarter? Or maybe for you it's not a circle at all, but a rectangle. What size or width would the impression be? Like a business card or like the size of your phone? Now, I'm going to give you a movement instruction that I'm quite sure all of you will be able to do. Because you can do it, this is going to free your mind and allow you to sense how the movement influences where you are leaning into your feet as you stand. So begin to lift your toes from the floor, all 10 at the same time. Whoa. For some of you, your weight shifted back into the heel and it almost felt like you were going to fall backwards, right? Whoa. Okay. Lower them back. Yeah. Lower them back down. So notice if in lifting your toes, you also lifted the ball of the foot from the floor. So let's all be intentional and let's all make that motion. We'll try that a couple of times, feeling how the bottom of the foot is like a teeter-totter. So if the toes and the ball of the foot go up, the heel goes down. Several times. Now, if you need your chair, it's right there. Now, that's not necessarily a bad movement, of course. It's in actuality a very important in something called postural sway, in initiating what I would call an equilibrium or a righting reflex. These are reflexes that keep you from falling backwards. So we want to start to get clear on what it is I'm really asking you to do next. So keep the ball of your foot on the floor and begin to lift or disengage only the toes from the floor. Several times. At first, you may sense the teeter-totter of the toes up and the ball of the foot going down. Yes? Mm-hmm. So make the lifting of the toes a little slower. And let the toes perhaps spread apart as they lift. And be clear when you reach the end of the lift, you pause, and then lower the toe pads back onto the floor. Pause and then lift again. So it's not important how high they lift from the floor, but for some of you, they have a greater range. Some toes have a greater range. So that's the movement pattern I'm asking. Keep this lifting of the toes, the pause, the lowering, the pause, without strain, and perhaps without holding your breath. And that's it. Let your mouth, maybe your lips relax too. Good. Now pause from that. Now we're going to lift again, and I want to direct your awareness to the bottom of the feet as the toes lift. Feel the weight shift along the ball of the foot, spreading to the heel area of the sole of the foot. Mm-hmm. Let your eyes be at the horizon level. Yeah, your head's lift up. Some of you may feel like the chest rises a little. Can you sense that as you make that simple movement of disengaging the toe pads, that the weight shifting along the length and width of the foot, that the kneecaps also start to lift? Uh-huh. And that there's a subtle contraction of the front of the thigh muscles called the quadriceps. Yes, there it is. For some of you, that was out of your awareness. Some of you, it's not even there right now. So make no judgment about it. It's fine. Now, let your attention be drawn to your pubic bone. That's that first bony place directly below your belly button. Notice as you lift the toes and the weight is distributed along the foot, the pubic bone also starts to lift. And there may be some subtle contraction of your lower belly or your abdominal muscles. Good. For some of you, it's there. Some, maybe not. And now pause. Just notice where you're leaning into your feet now. Has that changed since we started this exploration? Notice the vitality in your feet and legs. Do you wonder, how much longer is she going to make us stand? Or are you surprised that you are okay standing upright? It's been a couple of minutes here. Do you want to shift your weight more onto one foot than the other? Or do you feel that old familiar pain and discomfort getting louder in your awareness? Notice right there what you do with your breath when that pain, familiar discomfort gets louder in your awareness. Can you let yourself inhale and then just breathe out? And follow that in and out breathing for two complete cycles. Just standing. Okay, have a seat in your chair. Now sit more towards the front of the chair so that your knee and ankle is bent about a 90 degree angle. And we're going to use your notepad or coaster to start mapping out four very important pillars or anchors on the bottom of the right foot. These bony anchors allow the fleshy parts of the sole of the foot to organize in patterns or arches or buttresses that can evenly distribute your body weight not only within your foot, but they will also influence how you'll be able to move at your ankle or your knee, your hip, and whether or not you'll be able to stand and turn around safely or fall over. So, access to these pillars as you bend and reach forward will also influence your brain's automatic response and will interpret for you the safest distance that you can reach in any direction. So, these pillars or areas are pretty important, and access to them and differentiation of the parts of the foot that sometimes gets distorted can impact your risk of fall and contribute to a very decline of function as we get older. So maybe you're some part of your toes through an amputation or stubbed or broken a toe or a bone in your foot in your life, or maybe you're that chronic ankle roller or had a bad twisted ankle or knee, or if you're that person who jumped down from a surface and landed hard onto your feet. If you've had like plantar fasciitis or Achilles tendonitis or just good old neuropathy or sciatica, and you just don't feel your feet so clearly, these pillars may be quite unclear and elusive for you. And I dare say for some of you, you've never really given any thought of how to use your feet. But your brain uses the information of pressure that comes into your feet and will covertly and strongly impact your movement patterns, your pain, and your quality of function. So take your coaster or notepad and place it so that a small amount of the coaster is under the ball of the big toe. So it's mostly under the ball of the big toe. And as you lift and spread the toes of the right foot several times, you can start to feel more clearly the root of the big toe or the ball of the big toe go into the coaster or notepad. Good. And then raising and lowering, lifting and spreading the toes, returning back. Pause. Now, this next time, stay lifted and spread the toes and start to direct some pressure down into the coaster. Just two or three times, pressing the entire foot, of course, into the ground. But because the ball of the big toe is under the coaster, you'll feel it a little bit more clearly. Good. Stop. Now, take the coaster out and move it to the outside heel bone of the right foot. We're only doing the right foot. Another way of saying that is if the width of the bottom of your heel could be divided into two halves, the coaster is on the outer half of the sole of the heel, and it is right under the outside ankle bone. And once again, begin to lift and spread the toes apart several times without holding your breath. Pausing in a brief second or two before you lift again. And then as before, stay lifted and spread the toes and start to direct some pressure down into the coaster 2 to 3 times. And see if you can be clear in your coordination and timing. Lifting and keeping the toes spread and just imprinting the outer heel into their notepad or the coaster. Good. Let that go. Now, move the coaster so that a small amount of the coaster is under the ball of the little toe. The ball of the little toe. So most of the coaster is actually to the side of the foot, and it's just a small amount that you can get under the ball of the toe. Check again and adjust the foot and knee so that there's still that 90 degree or so bend in the ankle and the knee. And begin to lift and spread the toes apart. There you go. Several times without holding your breath, pausing a brief second or two before you lift again. So that you have a clear lifting point and a lowering point and a stopping point. Good. And then as before, you lift and you spread the toes. Start to direct some pressure down into the coaster. Again, 2 to 3 times. Noticing if it's easier for you to find the ball of the little toe side compared to the ball of the big toe side or the outside heel. Being clear in your coordination and timing. Now stay. That's it. Yeah. Good. Lower your toes. Yeah. Let it go. Let's move the coaster again. So place it under the inner half of the heel bone. And again, you'll be right under the inside ankle bone. Taking care to adjust the placement of the foot and knee so that there's still that 90 degree or so bend in the ankle and in the knee. And then as before, lift and spread the toes several times. Then stay with the toes lifted and direct some downward pressure into the coaster, like 2 to 3 times, imprinting the inner half of the heel into the coaster. Good. Now, let that go and remove the coaster from the floor. Adjust the foot and ankle again, foot and knee, so that there's that 90 degree angle at the hip, at the ankle and the knee. Good. And begin to lift and spread the toes apart. Stay lifted. And can you press all 4 points of the foot down into the ground at the same time? For me, I can clearly do 3, but the ball under my little toe side is not so clear. I was one of those people who were a chronic twisted ankle person, and probably at least 30 times in my lifetime right now. And history of chronic back pain, degenerative knees. Yes. Okay, let that go. Good. Come to stand. Noticing first, is the distance between your feet more narrow? And notice where you're automatically leaning into your feet now. Might be different. Now, begin to lift, disengaging the toe pads from the floor, spreading the toes on both feet. Is it a little more clear how your weight shifts along the bottom of the foot? You may start to feel how the thigh or quad muscles engage more readily for some of you. For some of you, it's the pubic bone now lifting, right? And the abdominals engaging. Good. Now, can you leave the toe pads up and actively press the four points of the right foot into the ground simultaneously? Good. A couple of times. Good. Now, release the toe pads. Now, on the right side only, lift the toe pads. And again, actively press the four points of the right foot into the ground. And feel this subtle but clear and automatic shift of your pelvis. Feel how, as you release the four points and then start again, toe pads up, actively press the four points. Feel this automatic shift of your pelvis. Release your four-point pressing. Your center of mass starts to shift over to the right and stacks up over the right foot as you actively press the four pillars into the ground. Good. Good. Let it go. Make sure you clearly pause before you start again. So disengage the toe pads, press the four pillars, sense your pelvic mass stacking up and over the right foot. In our gait or walking program, this is known as activating the vertical power line of the heel. Feel how light your left foot has become when you stack up and over those four pillars of the right foot. It's as though that the left foot is in preparation to lift from the ground. Good. Let that go. Take a few steps. Just walk around. And notice if there's any difference in your sensation in the bottom of the right foot versus the left. Now stand still. Remember those pretest movement exploration questions I gave you in the beginning? If you were to draw your attention to your 2 feet standing, sensing that lower half of your trunk and pelvis, where would you say the bulk of your pelvis is now? Where is it carried over into your 2 feet? Where are you leaning into your feet now? Can you feel that distribution of your weight into the ball of the foot and the heel? And maybe even the width of your feet, especially maybe the right foot for you. Your toe pads can be free and light. They're not gripping the floor, right? They could lift up and down, or they could just hang out there. So here's a tip for you. The more you grip the ground with your toes and leaning into the front of the ball of the foot and into toes, the stiffer your middle back will be. And the harder it will be to turn your head, the tighter the neck will be, and the stiffer your ankles will also be. And research has shown us that if you are stiff in your ankles, you will be at a greater fall risk. You put more load into the knees and into the lower back facets. Those are joints in the low back, and you wear them out quicker. Can you still cycle your breath? What number would you give yourself now? If 10 was feeling awesomely aligned and long and tall, and 1 feeling folded and hunched over, what number would you give yourself now? Fantastic. Remember, if you can't consciously sense or perceive differences, then there can be no change in how the brain senses or interprets the information. Without the clarity of differentiation, The brain and the nervous system will continue to activate the same old motor or muscle pathways that it used to compensate when you initially hurt yourself or had a surgical repair. And ultimately, these pathways lead to strong postural biases or tendencies that over time will add up and cause or will continue to cause a lot of pain, loss of flexibility, changes in strength and function. So this fundamental movement pattern of disengaging the toe pads is the first of several lessons that is foundational for improving balance when walking, climbing stairs, especially reaching over the head or forward. So I want you to practice this at home, like while you're waiting for coffee or standing in line at the grocery store, brushing your teeth or talking to someone. Just sense if you are forward leaning into the ball of the foot and toe pads, and can you make a choice to do something different? Perhaps you can let this disengaging of the toe pads be the first move you do when bending forward. That's just a hint of where we're going next, but okay, more later, but this is a great start.